Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Yes, happy Friday. The sun is out where we are. It's like 48 degrees or something. My daughter's in shorts today at school.
It's nice.
Shorts.
I, for the first time, we've lived in our house over 20 years, have made it through a cycle of shovelable snow without having done anything about it. And I'm assuming that by the time I get home tonight, it will all, like the sidewalks anyway, I think there'll be piles on the you know, between the street and the sidewalk or whatever. But I think I made it. I was not here when the snow fell. By the time I got home, it was all packed down and not really something you could shovel. So I just went.
I've used that.
So I looked at the forecast and went, okay, by Thursday, Friday, I'm good. I'm just going to have to live with it. Sorry, old lady's going to church.
I'm watching that ice melt in my driveway like the Tin Man is watching the right, Wicked Witch, right. Just with mouth open, big eyes, like, come on, ice.
This morning I left out the front door and on the steps even. I'm like, why is there still snow here? This should be gone. It was warm all night.
Well, I wasn't going to talk her out of it, but shorts, I mean, it's not exactly shorts weather, but it's crazy outfit day.
Oh, well, there you go.
At school. We should have that. Crazy outfit day.
All right.
Here in the Dunn Tire Studios. We should have that. They have that at Huth Road today. And she's got shorts on, which is not that crazy, except that it's January.
Yeah.
And she has one high sock, one low sock.
Okay.
One blue shoe, one white shoe.
I was going to say mismatched shoes, I think, are a must for crazy outfit day.
Her brother said he would not wear mismatched shoes because he has gym today. She's like, I have gym. Right in your face.
And fly that flag, kid.
She did some red coloring in her hair. Crazy outfit. Right. I don't know about the rest of it.
So that's like random outfit day almost.
It's not so much crazy as it's just sort of odd, yes.
Because when I was hearing this idea, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll come in wearing like something you'd see in the 1920s or something. Like, I do that. That's not quite the same thing. It doesn't
crazy
sound like.
Crazy outfit. Right. Crazy.
Crazy outfit is more like the kid in that Adam Sandler movie where he's the dad and the kid just dresses Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
Kid wants to be known as Frankenstein and he just dresses up however he wants. Like, okay, well, that's cool. Fine. You want to wear that to school? Okay.
What movie is this?
This is Big Daddy.
Big
with
Daddy.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler joint.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Heard of it.
Yeah. I saw it on a plane.
Your options are limited
on
planes.
Isn't that what you say whenever you are admitting to having seen a movie and remember things from it that's probably embarrassing? I saw it on a plane.
Or a different girlfriend. Yeah. Like I had a girlfriend who loved to go to the movies. And I went from going to all the movies to not going to any with one change of girlfriend. So if I've seen a movie, it's 20 years ago. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm betting it's still in the blockbuster days where like, okay, what do you want to do? Let's rent a couple of movies. And you're like walking through like, I've seen that. Oh, this, okay, let's just do this. And that was probably one of the picks. I'm guessing that's how it happened.
So we just heard from Joe that the NHL All-Star Skills competitions are tonight. Yeah. Jack Eichel is in Fastest Skater. And you like this show.
I do like this show.
You have players shooting from up in the crowd.
I don't know what that's going to look
like.
Little
Nets.
But yeah, I'm interested. I've not seen it demoed or anything as of yet, so it's just going to be new to me when I turn it on tonight, but I am definitely planning on watching some of it tonight.
I read that it started with Crosby and Malkin shooting from the mezzanine or something at their arena.
Where I first heard of it, that video was attached to a story about how this was now going to be a part of All-Star Skills. And there was a video, I didn't watch it, of Malkin and Crosby doing something.
You know, if we get bored with the shootout, maybe that becomes the new shootout someday.
Right, sure. I mean, you might as well.
They go through three rounds of a shootout, but we don't want to be here forever.
Right.
So we'll just, after three rounds, resort to, you have somebody up there in the crowd just in case it goes to extra rounds, and then they're ready.
Each team walks up
through the crowd.
Each team would need to have a designated crowd shooter. Wait, that's a bad name for it. Designated person, whatever. They need a guy, and he goes so that they're ready when the shootout ends. It's seamless.
Maybe it's somebody who is a scratch, and maybe then you would want to scratch a good player just in case for some games, just in case you get to the overtime shootout. You know, I like to watch these old sports on YouTube, and my preferred window is late 70s, early 80s. Whenever I was first watching sports on TV, those are the ones I gravitate to. Football and hockey, little baseball. Basketball's great. Like the classics, mid-80s to the Bulls, like Lakers to the Bulls. Finals games are great to rewatch. But with hockey, it can just be anything. I just want to hear Bob Cole or Dan Kelly. Basically, those are the voices I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So one time recently I was doing this and it was a Leaf game and I was just not, like, I don't even really pay attention to it. Like I tell you, it's just on sort of in the background. I'm whatever, doing something else. And I'm hearing this game in the background. If there's a goal, I'll stop and watch the goal or something.
Yeah.
And they said at one stoppage, it was, I think Brian McFarlane was one of the announcers. And he said, coming up in the first intermission, showdown.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember showdown.
So showdown, this would have been, like, again, 78 to 81, somewhere in there. Maybe they did that for a few years. Showdown was twofold. It was, like, in this particular game, Gilbert Perreault against Lanny McDonald. So one of the intermission, I didn't make it this far. I didn't watch it. I should. I should look for it.
Yeah.
You can do it, too. Like maybe on my phone today, during the breaks, I'll look for it. On YouTube, some old Leaf playoff game. Second intermission is Gilbert Perreault against Lanny McDonald in showdown, which is breakaways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as the phone crashes to the floor, it must have just been really hanging on the edge there. I didn't even touch it.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know if the goalie is a real goalie in this case. It might be.
I can't remember if it's I don't remember what the goalie's part in that is. I mean, I know the goalie's trying to make saves, but I don't know who he is.
In the first intermission, though, I'm saving this. In the first intermission, if it's also maybe called showdown, it might be. It's the same thing. It's retired players.
Oh, my. I don't remember that.
And it was Andy Bathgate against George Ferguson shooting against Johnny Bauer.
Oh, my Lord.
They were all retired.
Wow. Okay, I would watch that.
I would watch that tonight.
I would watch that right now.
I would watch that tonight. I would like to see retired players involved in this. Maybe?
Yeah.
Could you get them? You could probably get them.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they just had an alumni game in St. Louis last night.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get some older, like, the older the better.
Yes, provided they can still get around and safely, yeah.
Do you remember Luke Appling?
Yes.
Remember him hitting a home run in an All-Star game, like, again, mid-80s, and in Washington, they had like a Legends game, right?
Uh-huh.
And this guy was super old, and he hit a home run, maybe?
That rings a bell. For some reason, I'm not necessarily associating his name with having done that, but maybe that's the guy I've seen do it. Maybe there's been more than one. But I know I have seen footage of a guy that you are pretty surprised, if not flat out stunned, he's the age he is. Just
cranks one.
Wallop one.
Yeah. You're thinking of him as being better than Jeter, but maybe you're not associating him with this moment.
That was exactly what I was thinking.
But I'm thinking like RFK Stadium, mid-80s, Legends game, and this super old dude
I think,
hits a home run.
Again, this is one of these things I didn't click on, but the one recap I saw or something, something written about this game last night in St. Louis said, well, I don't want to just guess at the age. It was about Red Berenson. It said like 84-year-old Red Berenson wows the crowd.
Could be right.
And I was like, dang, that's really something. Like, if he's out there playing in this alumni game, like, that is fantastic.
He wows them by
staying up. Just by getting around, yeah.
That guy is, he's awake. He's 80.
80, okay.
That guy's still awake.
Yes.
Not only can he skate around, just the fact that he's awake
at,
is
whatever,
awesome.
Whatever time it was.
This is like 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, maybe
guy's
later.
Awake.
It was Central time, so it's later.
Yeah, Red Berenson. That's right. I see it right here. 80 years old.
Okay.
So the All-Star game then is tomorrow night. And is it interesting?
I mean, no.
It's 3-on-3?
Yeah.
By divisions?
Right. So, yeah, there's two games and then the winners play. So it's three games in all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two Eastern teams play and the two Western teams play and then the winners play.
Fine.
I think that's how that goes. Is it interesting? It's a lot of skill on display as my son has gotten higher and higher levels of hockey. It is fun for him and therefore us to watch the goalies faced with that because it's just, you know, I mean, it is. There's absolutely no defense. I mean, it's 3-on-3, and it's even more ridiculous than 3-on-3 is in, you know, a regular game. Because it's all the best players, and, like, no one is there trying to be, like, careful, really. You know, it's just...
No one's really busting it.
Right. So, it, you know, it's a little slower, but you do see some, you know, you do see some pretty remarkable stuff. The skill and the talent of the players is really on display, and that's the only reason worth watching. So, is it interesting, like, competitively? No. As an exhibition, it is, for me, very interesting.
20-plus years... in radio, and is the All-Star game interesting has always been there.
Yes, right.
My whole career, does the All-Star game work is like one of the very few topics that has just never changed. It's never really gotten to the point where we don't ask that. And it started for me at a point where we were already asking that. Like it wasn't in the 70s or something where the All-Star game was like important.
Right.
So, it's always been there. Does the All-Star game work? I would say for hockey, what they're doing is maybe the best you can do. You really can't make it meaningful in a traditional way. No. Baseball tried to make the game mean something, and it kind of got mocked for it. I didn't mind it so much. It really didn't affect most teams, though. It was only the World Series teams who were affected by it.
Right.
But I guess I would say that didn't go over great. Don't bother. Use the game for what it is, an exhibition. So if it's going to be that, you might as well focus on the skill of the players. Those are the players who make the All-Star game, not the two-way players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the, you know, stay-at-home defensemen, if there still are such things. It's the it's the top skill. So you might as well let that show or shine.
I think that's a good way to put it, that they've done the most, I think, the most, the best that you can do. Like, look, I mean, what are we enjoying about the Sabres than the year he's having? So I'm not going to be crestfallen if he doesn't beat Kreider in the Fastest Skater.
You know the names.
But I know who's in. Yeah, I mean, I Joe just said a few of them, but I looked to see what he was in. I was hopeful that he'd be in that, and he is. You know, it'd be cool if he won it, but whatever. I mean, it's the difference of tenths of a second is who's going to win. So it, you know, it's not. I'm not into it, but I'm into it.
You know, you say...
Does that work?
you, how did you put it? That Eichel is like the thing we're enjoying the most about the Sabres?
Right.
It's an interesting way to put that. Sure. It's just so frustrating that he's here for this.
Yeah, I know, but...
You could look at that either way, or many different ways, that thank goodness, you know? Like,
yeah.
But... In the last couple of days, we've opened up a lot of sort of frustration about the Sabres from ourselves and from listeners. And one sentiment has been, I'm mad that he's on the team because it's just being wasted.
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't feel that at all. I mean, people can feel however they want to feel, but I'm definitely not there. Like I told you yesterday that when I sat down to write for the website, my intention was to sort of, it wasn't to backtrack, but it was just to sort of turn the page. Like, look, okay, there was venting and like people are reacting, but here are some things that I'm happy about. Right? Like Eichel, Dahlin, I like the coach. So like there's at least some stuff, and you know, it's not maybe going to get you where you want to go right now, but there is still like, there are still good things that are there. So yeah, I would never sign up for like, I'm mad that he's here. I mean, I'm frustrated that they're not better and that he's 5 years into his career now and they have not really been close. Like this might be the latest they've been this close, even, and they're 10 points out.
There really is not, that I can think of anyway, a real good comparison in our sports history to this player on these teams. I thought about OJ. Like, so OJ was great. You have the 73 season where he runs for 2,000 yards, and that had to be, you remember it. I mean, that had to be awesome for what it was.
It was a great ride, yeah.
The team was decent, but it was not really good. The next year, off of the 2,000-yard season, they're in the playoffs. Like, that team is 10-4, I think, or 9-5. Like, that's a playoff team in 1974. In 75, they start 4-0. They have the best offense in the NFL and eventually fall short. But, like, in those, that's really, like, the prime OJ.
Uh-huh.
78, he's traded. You know, what, 69, he shows up, and it took him a couple of years to really get going. So, in those prime OJ years, the Bills were decent, better than, by far, better than the Sabres have been for Eichel. The Sabres have not been close to the playoffs in 4.5 years, in 5 years now. And in hockey, most teams are. I mean, most teams every year get at least within arm's length into the second half, at least, of the season. And the Sabres have never been able to do that. So, you know, with the great players Buffalo has had, with Gilbert, those were playoff teams. Hasek, of course, took his teams to the finals, even in 99, like on playoff runs. The Bills' drought teams really did not have anybody like this, anybody who was like such a star that you could say, like, I think some Sabre fans are talking or think the way you're talking, which is, I just want to see him, you know, and that is maybe what people were like during OJ. Like, I want to see him. I'm here. I'm going to see him play.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I was. You know, I do remember it, but I don't have a lot of details, and I certainly can't tell you what my emotions were like because I was 8 years old.
Also, you've suppressed many of your emotions.
Sure, it's a troubled childhood. But I.
OJ. I mean,
but I do. Right. Oh, well, that's right too. Yes, I've talked about that too. But I don't remember being real upset about the losses. You know, I mean, Miami eventually started really grating on me as I got older, but like when I'm digging into OJ in 73, I'm not really thinking about what I kind of remember being. I don't know if I wouldn't say freaked out, but you know, it was very odd to me that my dad would get so frustrated. You know, he wanted wins. You know, he was there to see them, you know, win something. And I was just like, I just want to watch OJ run around. Like, I don't know. What's the score? Did he get 200 yards today? Like, that was all I was really there for. I'm not quite at that level at all with Eichel. It's merely just to say he's a star player. He's ascended. Maybe the most frustrated I can be about him is that he's having this year, and we'll see what the final 33 games or so bring, but he's having a year that so far should be an MVP caliber year, but the team is just not at a level where he'll get that run. That bothers me. That he's sort of not in that, you know, he's not in that conversation because the team is 10 points out of a playoff spot. At least if it's right to say he's not in the conversation. I mean, I think he's getting, I said earlier this year, he had sort of dropped off the map. As far as, you know, you hear Wayne Gretzky talk about enjoying the game and what the young stars have to offer, and he'll tick off four or five guys and he wouldn't get to Jack. And I've heard like a couple different legends like that talk like that about Austin Matthews and about McDavid and about McKinnon, and be like, what happened to our guy? I thought our guy was going to be one of those guys. I think he's broken back into that, which is good. But it's tough. He's not, he's not going to get the run he maybe should get if he ends up with 108 points or something this year.
Right. Yeah, the comparisons, I don't know. I just can't really come up with one that's really good for Buffalo. It reminds me of baseball and stars on teams in the 70s, maybe, or even earlier, that were just like always Dave Winfield on the Padres or something. Like, he's just always there, and the team is never good. Mm-hmm. But this is when, like, the All-Star game was different. The All-Star game, you would see Dave Winfield, and maybe you had heard of him, or in my case, Baseball Digest would write about Dave Winfield, but he was never on Saturdays or Monday nights. It was only at the All-Star game, and there were a half a dozen guys like that that were on teams, Robin Yount. Like, they were just on teams. You never saw them. They never won, or at least usually, and they were still great. And, like, Trout now for the Angels. More and more teams are in the playoffs, so this is harder to do now. Those days, it was division winners only. But Trout for the Angels, who is on a higher level than Eichel is in his sport, like, they've never even really come close. Like, they just lose. And that's really strange. And, you know, the Sabres thing is strange in its own way. Just sort of hard to do what the Sabres have managed to do in these 5 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Stay so far back with a player of this caliber. So it's not easy to it stands out in Buffalo's history, I think, as this. You have a guy like this and a team that's just, you know, a bottom feeder. 803-0550 is the number. So the skills are tonight and the All-Star game is tomorrow. Pierre Maguire will be a part of NBC's coverage, and he will be on with us. He's Bulldog's buddy now. He'll be on with us for a few minutes at 4 today, and we'll do a lot of other things. Super Bowl stuff. Big anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Here at the station, yeah, you don't know? Song draft.
Oh!
1 year ago.
Yeah.
1 year ago tomorrow. Do you remember your songs?
Super Bowl bye week, we did the song draft.
As soon as I thought about that, Joe told me yesterday, and I remembered that this morning, like, why are we not drafting today?
Yeah.
Right? Just didn't get there.
Didn't come together, yeah.
803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The biggest thing for me is being under the puck at all times and being that guy. You know, he's relied on heavily here for different types of play. You know, we've used him penalty killing, we've used him power play, we've used him 3-on-3, we've used him 4-on-4, all different situations. And, you know, he's really liking that role, you know, taking leadership and being a big part of our team. So it's good to see part of his development.
Rochester Americans coach Chris Taylor on WGR today. On demand audio, radio.com, entire shows. I don't know about last year's song draft. I went looking for audio a little while, like a few days ago. I wanted to find the Tannehill bet, and I couldn't. Joe did find it.
Yep.
And I I figured out that my problem was that it was more than a year old. So I'm thinking that
song
stuff older than is out there. But if this is the case, you have until today to find the song draft because tomorrow was the date, right? January 25th, the song draft.
Yeah, if you want to relive me drafting There's Got to Be a Morning After by Elizabeth McGovern, first overall. Go into the archives, find it. Let me know if you send me a link.
Is that really the name of the?
There's a song called "The Morning After." It was the theme.
The singer,
yeah, I believe so.
Maureen McGovern.
Maureen McGovern,
not Elizabeth McGovern.
Right. No.
Okay. Yeah, you said Elizabeth McGovern.
I did. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Maureen McGovern.
Maybe you're thinking of Elizabeth Montgomery.
I probably was. Thank you for correcting me. Maureen McGovern.
Sure.
"The Morning After." I believe it was the theme song from the original Poseidon Adventure.
Okay. Does that sound right, Joe?
Sure.
Pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, I love that. Was a great moment in the song draft.
They do live longer on demand. You just gotta kind of hunt them down a little bit.
Okay,
put what you're looking for in quote marks in the search bar, and it'll come up.
The song. When I think about the song draft, I think about drafting that Tina Turner song. That was so much fun to do.
Mountain High Enough. Is that, was that what was
River
it?
Deep Mountain
River
High?
River Deep Mountain High. Right.
Yeah.
29th overall.
I mean, a steal. I just loved doing that.
Could have waited to round 8, I think.
I definitely could have. I could have waited until right now to draft that song. I mean, that's the thing about the song draft.
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
There were only a few songs that more than one person even remembered. But that one, I was just so excited to play it. Like, listen to this. Listen to her. Holy cow. Like, just what power.
Yeah.
Tina Turner. What power. I'm sort of back in that moment right now just thinking about it. I love that.
Yeah. I remember being urged by some friends to totally just be hipster doofus guy and pick obscure stuff just because, like, that, you know, that'd be who you are, right? But I wanted to really go at it, you know? So I like, wanted to try to draft songs that I thought were important. You know, that had influence and that were excellent.
One overall was?
I don't remember now.
Rock and Roll. Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yep.
Paul.
The only song Paul drafted I had ever heard of.
Yeah, there was a great moment where Paul confused the Kinks and the Kings.
Yeah, which made it very difficult as the person playing the music underneath.
The song,
yeah.
Who were the Kings?
The Kings are like a Canadian 80s band, and Paul really liked a song. I think it was Switching to Glide. Do you have the song draft open
there?
He did
not draft that, though.
No, I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
He drafted This Beat Goes On by the Kings.
This Beat Goes On, right.
Okay.
Right, that's the song I'm thinking.
Round 4.
Yeah.
Round, the Kings. You think he could have waited?
Yes, he
probably.
But I love that song. I loved that song as a, whatever, teenager, 20-year-old. I really liked it.
I've listened to the playlist. Like, there were a couple listeners who made Spotify playlists for that. And the one song that isn't on there is one of Joe's picks, Friends in Low Places, because you cannot find Garth Brooks. I think this is still true.
Yep, Garth Brooks.
Everybody
Spotify.
Else, every other song we picked was on, was available, but not that one. And that was a good pick, I thought.
Good for him.
So, talked about Jack Eichel, All-Star Weekend. Tomorrow's game will be on WGR. Tonight we have Niagara Basketball, and Pierre McGuire will be on with us. He's part of the coverage for NBC. He'll be on with us in a little bit less than half an hour. 803-0550 for your calls. Eli Manning retired, as expected.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened.
Mm-hmm. And they're retiring his number.
They are retiring his number 10. Fine.
Yep.
Important person in the history of that franchise, to say the least.
Yep.
This will be the first time no Manning is in the league, neither Peyton nor Eli Manning, since 1997. 98 draft. Is
right.
Peyton Manning. He played. So we have to go back that far. Pretty good run for both of those guys.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think of Peyton Manning as having started 4 Super Bowls? Was looking at some Super Bowl stats today for some for trivia purposes, and like that's tied for the second most. 4. Several guys have 4. Kelly,
yeah,
Bradshaw, Montana, and then there's Brady has 9, I believe. And there's Peyton Manning. Like, wait a minute, 4? But that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
They won with Indianapolis, lost with Indianapolis against New Orleans, lost with Denver against Seattle, won with Denver in his last game.
Yeah.
Against Carolina, 4.
That's pretty good. Eli's only got the 2, right?
He has only 2 seasons in which he ever won a playoff game at all.
Right, those 2 years.
For all the years Manning was in the league, 2004 through 19, those 2 years are the only seasons that they won a playoff game at all. He was only in 1, I think, in the last 7 or 8 years. And that's the game where Odell Beckham and guys went on a boat ride.
Right, they lost in Green Bay.
And they lost in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Here's a trivia question if you want it.
Sure.
4 Patriots have at least, 4 different Patriots have at least 11 receptions in a Super Bowl game.
In a single game?
In a single game. Including the record holder with 14. A player that you probably wouldn't think of for this stat is 2nd with 13. Maybe you would. And then you have several 11s, including 3 different Patriots. One of these Patriots also had 10 in another Super Bowl. And none of them is Edelman or Gronkowski. Edelman had 10, I think, maybe last year. How do you like this?
What the hell is even happening? It's Friday.
What? Too hard?
This hard? I'm going to leave.
What's in the fridge?
I'm going to leave.
You're walking out.
I feel like
Joey's
somebody,
walking out.
I feel like I just got put in the figure 4 leg lock.
They're going home.
Like, what?
They're going home.
What am I supposed to do with all this?
One has got to be Deion Branch.
He's an MVP, for God's sake. Right.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he also has a 10. He has 11 and a 10.
11 and a 10.
James White.
Yes. James White has the record for most receptions in a Super Bowl in the game against Atlanta. Not just running backs.
Right.
14.
And didn't win the MVP.
Did not.
But he got the truck. Brady gave him the truck.
Brady gave him the truck. Oh, that was nice.
Brady went, I think it was 43 for 62 in that game.
I hate that game. Run and stop the run.
I hate that game.
It's my least favorite football game ever.
I hate that game so much. 28-3.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Shanahan, by the way.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Get the check. 28-3.
I don't remember where. I think your house was Seattle, New England.
Yes. This game was the Nussbaumers.
Okay.
Oh, you weren't there.
No. Every other year.
You don't know that.
Besides the year that we were at your house. I've just watched them at home, and I think I fell asleep when the comeback. Like I sort of missed the start of the comeback, and then woke up and like, what is even happening? Like, what? Why is this still like this is a game now? And it was over.
It's like, the worst.
What is going on?
It was so much fun watching them get
yes.
beat.
Yes. Well, I mean, it was only so much fun. I did fall asleep
for me,
you know.
Then.
But yeah. It was too much fun. I was celebrating too much. I had too much to drink, and I passed out. No,
so James White had 14 catches in the Super Bowl. Who are the other 3 Patriots to have at least 11? Branch is 1.
I guess I want to guess Kevin Falk here.
Mm-mm. Okay.
That was a good guess. That was my next one.
From maybe the first
yeah,
of their Super Bowls?
Yeah. He was there for... I thought he was there for their first 3. He was there for a while. At least it felt that way. Would they have had a guy in one of the ones they lost?
One of these is in a loss.
Wes Welker.
Yes. Yes, Welker. I think that's first Giants.
The first Giant game?
I think so. 42?
Because the second one, he drops a very important pass late in the game.
And Giselle ripped him for it, didn't she?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Did he say something and then she said something back?
Yeah. Ball. I remember Giselle and
I remember
and,
a drop.
Welker
now I remember
drama.
A drop. I don't remember Giselle drama, but I remember a Welker drop. Holy cow.
Tough one here.
Is it that Caldwell guy?
Yeah, Rashay Caldwell is who I was just going to guess.
No, I think it's the Seattle game.
Seattle game. I don't remember anything about that game.
I don't know. Randy Moss. Randy Ooh. Moss. No.
Which one is Super Bowl 49? That's it, isn't it? New England, Seattle?
Wait, they didn't play... Oh, yeah. right, later.
Shane Vereen. Were you ever getting there?
No, there's no way I was going to.
That was you. Along the James White, Kevin Falk pathway.
Right.
Yeah.
I already thought of Brandon Bolden, but he was not the receiver those other guys were, I don't think. Yeah.
I've always said that, too.
So Moss is a no, by the way?
Moss is a no.
Okay. Why didn't they throw it more to Moss in 07? They would have won.
I don't know. How many targets? That's I wonder really how many targets.
Stupid.
That was a DiGiacomo Super Bowl.
They deserve to lose.
I was at
the
DiGiacomo residence for that game. Yeah, do you remember Super Bowls for where you were, for whose house you went to? I like that. The Nussbaumer game, the DiGiacomo game, the Shope game.
All I've got is the Shopes game, and that's really it. And then prior to that, it's like we were at a casino for the Carolina-New England one. And
that's
then,
two Super Bowls only away or back for you that you weren't home for.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you just stay at home for these.
Yeah, I'm a homebody. And then we were at the place we did the truck thing that we talked about yesterday for the Tampa one that was a couple years before that. I'm deflecting because I cannot come up with another name. Ben Watson.
Well, we're done.
Oh, we're done. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Moss, by the way, had 12 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown in the Giants Super Bowl.
Okay, they were all over him.
He also played in another Super Bowl. He caught 2 of 5 targets for 41 yards for the 49ers.
He did.
Against Baltimore.
Moss, see, I did not watch that game. Moss was on that 49er team with Kaepernick?
Yes.
Really? I watched every minute of that game and do not remember him being on that team at all. And
I love
probably
it.
Would have like fought you almost to the point of violence.
He does not have a ring.
Him being on that team.
He does not have a ring, but he was in 2 Super Bowls that were very close, tough losses.
Yeah.
We should get him on. He would come on, I think, Moss.
Moss?
Yeah, let me ask him. Let me reach out to him.
All right.
Who is second on this list, by the way, receptions in a Super Bowl with 13? 14 is James White. There are a bunch of 11s and 10s. This player did this for Denver.
Ricky Natiel.
I guess it's fine. There's a lot of ways you can go with Denver. You can go to the Elway teams, like the early Elway and then the late Elway, and then you can go to the Manning teams. It's not Ricky Natiel.
No.
It's none of the amigos.
Rod Smith.
No, that would be my guess, but it's not Rod Smith. Okay. He had a big game against Atlanta.
Right.
Or at least he had a big play.
You're definitely a big play, yeah.
Eric Decker.
No, this is Denver, Seattle, I guess.
Demaryius Thomas.
Also did not watch that game.
It's a lot of garbage time.
Demaryius Thomas had 13 catches in that game. Those are the records. Got some more for you later. Timmy Smith and Thurman Thomas have exactly the same number of rushing yards in Super Bowls.
Oh, wow. One appearance for Timmy Smith.
One game.
4 for Thurman.
Out of nowhere, 204.
Right.
And Thurman had 4. He had the great Giant game. That was tough. Pierre McGuire coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I've been around Tom a number of times and you know, see how competitive he is. And you know, we joke around it a little bit, but I think, you know, it's not real funny to him. You know, when you think about the great moments in your career, those are going to be at the top of the list when you win championships.
Eli Manning, there he goes. He lost his starting job after the Bills beat them. But he got back in. Daniel Jones got hurt.
Right.
And Manning played 2 games late in the season.
So they bounced him and they bounced Mariota.
Yeah, and Gerard Gallant also.
Sure.
And like 5 kickers.
And a bunch of kickers.
A bunch of kickers.
Buffalo has just been
John Hines,
the assassin this year in sports. Who just, yeah, right. You're not coming back from us. We'll play you and then you're going to get fired. Sorry. You better win. Eli Manning.
Tough racket.
That was a long, long run. Pierre McGuire coming up. Here is Joey with us. Hello, Joey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure,
man.
Yeah, I think Bulldog might remember this reference since you mentioned the Poseidon Adventure. But hearing my complaint about Jack being on the team is like kind of remembering the priest holding onto that handle as he turned it to save everybody at the end.
I wasn't complaining about him being on the team, but...
Well, hating the fact that we're wasting him, I guess. That's the same point.
Well, don't you?
Go ahead.
Don't you feel that way? Doesn't he feel like he's...
Not at all. I love it. In fact, I would much rather not have him have become a bust. I guess that's what you were thinking. Like, if he was a bust, then at least we wouldn't have to worry about it. We'd be like Ottawa.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I wouldn't be happier if he was bad.
But, I mean, like, who's got a more disappointing season, the Sabres or the Leafs?
I don't know.
Just asking for a friend. Just asking. I'm just saying that.
The Leafs were the cup favorite, so maybe the Leafs.
Exactly. And who's on their team? I can name, like, five All-Stars right off my hand.
But what's the point?
They really made a mistake with trading O'Reilly. We haven't had a second-line center. They thought Middlestat was going to do it. They were wrong, okay? So they sent him down for what they thought was going to be best for the team. They drafted Cousins. We don't have a second line or a third line center, and you expect us to be in the playoff race against Tampa Bay.
Well, no. I expect them to do something about that.
Okay, I agree. I want them to do something about that, but if you see a center being traded at the second line center, give me a call, because I haven't seen one moved.
Ever?
I'm talking about over the past year and a half. We shouldn't have traded O'Reilly, right or wrong?
Sure looks like it was a terrible idea, but yes. They finished buck naked last with him on the team, too, 2 years ago. So, I mean, that happened.
Is somehow, like, this, I don't know, Joey, I don't know what I'm supposed to think. I feel like I've just been, like, on an awful Disney ride or something, and I kind of want to get sick. Like, is somehow the Leaf season meaningful toward judging the Sabres? Or
I mean, I don't really, yeah.
I don't like being accused of saying that I wish Eichel were terrible or something. It's simply that the dichotomy of having him be so excellent on a team that's so irrelevant in the league is really sad. You know, you've got this guy here that is so good, and then sometimes you also hear people blaming him for why the team isn't better, which is, to me, like, insane. But yeah, I'm not upset that he's good or anything. That's ridiculous. I just think it's sad that this is happening. Like, you got him. You won a real prize in Eichel, and can't get the team off the ground. I mean, it's just kind of amazing. So,
yeah, it is.
Thanks for the call. We have Pierre McGuire coming up from St. Louis. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.